singing that last song, and our pastor in Tennessee, at least when I was in college, Dr. Sexton used to say all the time, the most encouraging service of the week was Wednesday night, and I think there's a lot of truth in that, because we really do come into the Wednesday evening service, and there's just so many things in our mind, and I pray that the Lord would encourage you this evening. And then if you can go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Peter. While they're doing that, let's go ahead and have this. I know everyone's raising their hand. Go ahead and have the sailors, if they would be dismissed, and the peewees. Sailors, peewees. We've got sailors, I think, are over here. Peewees are back here. Sailors are over here. Yes, sir. Probably about 8:40 or so. We will come get you if we're early. They're concerned. Just want to say it's encouraging to me to see you all here this evening, and I really do hope that you'll open your heart and mind to Him. I mentioned it briefly a second ago, but sometimes when the pastor is not here, our minds can be thinking a lot on many different things, and it doesn't matter who it is, what pastor it is. I know from my dad being a pastor, when he was not there, the service just felt different, and sometimes we just came into the service intending to feel different. And might I challenge you, the Lord has given us pastor as our pastor, and so let's not seek to have a different spirit, even in our presence of listening to the Word of God, responding to the Word of God, and even praying tonight. Let God work in your heart just the same. And that's not a choice I can make for you. That's a choice of your own. But we're in 1 Peter chapter 2. And before we read together, let's pray, and then we'll look at the message here this evening. 1 Peter chapter 2. Our Heavenly Gracious Father, Lord, I thank You for this evening. I pray that You'd help me tonight as I speak. Lord, give me the words to say. Lord, may Your Holy Spirit work in and through me. Lord, I don't know exactly why You would have for me to give this message tonight, but I pray that You would help me to be clear to understanding. And Lord, may the ears of each and every individual that's here this evening be open to what You would have for us. Lord, we do pray for Pastor in the midst of all of these things. Comfort him, watch over him, and heal him, we pray. And we ask that You would bring him back to 100% health, and that he would be able to do all that You've given him in a vision to be able to accomplish. So, Lord, we ask and pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll begin looking in verse number 21. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. I've been thinking a lot in the book of 1 Peter, and in verse 21, the Bible says, For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. The Bible says at the end of that verse, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. And sometimes we'll often question and wonder, and we'll think within ourselves what we should do with our lives, and we try to decide what we want to do within our own strength and our own mind and our own power, and God leaves us the example. Amen. God says, follow my example. Think of the disciples themselves and how that they being physical followers of Jesus Christ, in all the following which they did physically, they really didn't do a lot of following spiritually, and yet they missed so much of what God had for them. In more than one instance, Jesus would say, why is it you don't understand? How is it that you don't know what it is that I'm trying to tell you? God has given us an example of how we are to live our lives. And that example that we follow of His causes us then to leave an example for others. We follow in the steps of Christ, and others will follow within our steps. I think the most relevant to many of us here tonight would be that of our own children. As a father and mother would walk a direction within their lives, their children in many cases, in more cases than none, most always, fall in the steps of their parents. Sometimes in a slightly different angle than the other, but in most cases they do. And that's why I've always been told as a child, you be careful because your children are going to be just like you. And maybe you've told your own children that. And we follow in the steps of our parents. We follow in the steps of people that are above us and authority over us. Again, I can't help but think tonight is even another example how the pastor lays out the steps of a Wednesday evening service. And when something's done a little differently, everyone notices, wow, you know, this is the way it's always been done. It's done a little bit differently. There's been times where in the classroom in our Christian school that you have a different teacher who fills in and you ask them, how did the class go today with the new teacher that's in? And they tell you all these different things that they've never done before because there's somebody new that's in there. We're used to following the layout, the blueprints, the example of what's already been set there. What we're talking about tonight is the example of ourselves, the example that we lay out to others. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, if you turn just a page over with me, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "The elders which are among you, I exhort." Now, obviously, this word "elders" can be taken one of two ways, but the as we might think, first of all, it's speaking that of an older Christian. In this context, it's really being used that of speaking to pastors. However, in many cases, I think I know even myself would look over these passages and say, "You know what? That's for the pastor. It's not for me." But how many leadership qualities can be learned in the Christian life by following that which God has instructed for the man of God. Amen? The Bible says in verse number 1, "The elders which are among you I exhort." In verse number 5, just kind of give you a context, the Bible says, "Likewise ye younger." So here he's talking first to the pastors or the older Christians. Literally the word means more experienced individual, the more experienced Christian. And then in to come, he's talking to the younger. I want you to notice, though, tonight we're talking about qualities of a godly example, a godly leader. In verse number 1, the Bible says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, whom am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." The Bible tells us here and gives us instructions for the Christian leader. I wonder if you might ask yourself, in all honesty tonight, do you have the qualities of a godly leader? Do you have the qualities of a godly leader? Is these steps which you're taking in your Christian life, father, mother, teenager, in your family, the steps which you are taking together as a whole, are they following the steps of Christ? And are they, as the Bible tells us here and shows us, are they qualities that of a godly leader, a godly example? The Bible tells us we would think of the pastor position is the under-shepherd. Aren't you thankful for our pastor? Amen. The Bible tells us that the pastor is to be is the one whom God has ordained and set within the house of God and is to be the shepherd over the flock. And while we would easily say, you know, this passage is so relevant to the pastor, we all have a ministry, we all have a flock, we all have a people to whom we can minister to. Amen? The Bible says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to those who've never heard. Well, the Bible also makes it clear that we're to minister to those who are Christians. And I think it's not coincidence at all that when the Bible says, "Likewise, ye younger," Peter's laying out a very clear understanding that here are the instructions for those of you who are older in the Christian life, and here are the instructions for those of you that are younger. In fact, we love verse 5 as adults because it says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." We could stop right there and say amen, right? Oh, yeah, the young people need to obey and listen to us, right? But the Lord first gives the instructions to the leader. Dr. Lee Robertson, originator starting of Tennessee Temple, used to often say and really has been given the coining of the phrase, "Everything rises and falls on leadership." And when something's falling apart, you look at the person who's in charge of it and they're the person to blame or they're the person that can be making that difference. And truth of the matter is we all lead in some way, shape, or form. We're all setting an example, following in steps in some way, shape, or form. The question is what example are we leaving? What example are we leaving? I tell the teenagers quite often that just because you're a teenager doesn't mean you shouldn't communicate with the adults. And I would say the same thing to the church here at Westside. Just because we're adults doesn't mean we shouldn't minister to those who are younger than us. The Bible says that there are qualities of a godly leader, and he lays these things out for us, and he says, I exhort you. Peter, that word exhort is the idea of encouraging, coming alongside, putting your arm around. He says, I'm encouraging you, fellow Christians, that these are things which you should be doing. But before he goes even to say those things, in verse 1 he says, who am also an elder, he says, I, being in the same position as you, he says, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. You understand that Peter, even more than what we could testify of ourselves, Peter was literally there during the time of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Peter saw Jesus being crucified to the extent of knowing all that was happening. But yet it was Peter in his denial of Jesus Christ and his refusal to admit that he was a follower of Christ that came to his fault. And now he's speaking here to the Christians and says, hey, listen to what I'm saying. He says, just as God has laid it out that we are to be followers of him, we have others who are following us in the same way. And it doesn't just stop at the teenager. It doesn't just stop at the young person and teenagers. It doesn't just stop at the people who are in their mid-20s and mid-30s and those who are much older. We could say ages all day, but the truth of the matter is the Bible identifies this, those who are older in their Christian life, who have known Christ, and those who are younger. And we as Christians in Jesus Christ are to be laying out this example. The Bible says we are to be encouragers as Peter was in testimony. The Bible says his testimony was, I witnessed the very sufferings of Christ. And while we may have not been there in the literal time of Jesus' crucifixion, we do know what Christ has done for us. Amen? Jesus has died for... I didn't hardly hear any amens on that. We do know what Jesus has done for us. Amen? The problem is, as Christians, is we don't testify of that. You know, I've asked myself when I was a young person, what can I talk to the adults about? I cannot relate to them. I don't feel like I can have that connection with them. And yet Peter's saying, here's something to start with. Here's what I'm encouraging you in. Here's how I'm starting my example to you, my testimony in Christ. Let me remind you, I was there during the very time of Jesus Christ. You want to start a conversation with somebody, help lead them in the right example, start with Christ. Amen. Start with what Christ has done for us. And Christ's very example, which he left. So the Bible says we're encouraging fellow Christians in testimony, but also the Bible says in verse 1, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Peter, the Bible says, encouraged his fellow Christians knowing that they would be together with them in heaven. You know, that's the greatest thing we have in common together as Christians. Amen? We all have our salvation in common. We've all been saved by the grace of God. We're all loved by an all-loving Savior. That love never dies, never will, never has. The Bible tells us that we have all been given, that have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Saviors. We've been given an eternal salvation. And we will all spend eternity with Christ in heaven. That's the greatest thing which we all have in common. But yet we allow divisions to come amongst us. We allow ourselves to not be able to relate with one another as Christians. Again, as I was considering and praying about what the Lord would have me to speak on, and Pastor giving me somewhat direction, I was scratching my head quite a bit and asking myself, you know, this just doesn't seem something that I would be comfortable speaking on. But then I have to look back and examine my own life, and am I, as a Christian, am I living a godly example? Laying out that example. The Bible says, in these qualities of a godly leader, the Bible says, first of all, we're to feed the flock of God. Feed the flock of God. The Bible says that flock, speaking of the people of God, is the people to whom God places under you. Maybe we have only known Christ for a certain point in time. Maybe who are looking and studying and seeking to know more about Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're looking in verse number 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. The Bible says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. We're in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. Support the weak. Be patient towards all men. There's those things which are given there in verse 14. There are four things warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Pastor would often say the first thing and the last thing are the most important things when a list is given in the Word of God. Warn them, be patient with them. Boy, how hard it is sometimes to give a loving, Christ-like warning to the younger Christian. Amen? How often that it should be given, and yet we don't really think to do so. My challenge and encouragement to you tonight is that we would see the opportunity which God gives to us, to the younger Christian. I can remember as a teenager, there's still living today, a man by the name of Art Murphy. I think he's probably up in his 80s by now. Tall, just a little taller than me even, and is still like a charcoal gray hair, full head of hair for all that he was. And Art, when he talked, he'd always shake his head like this, and he'd talk to you, and he'd hold his hands here like this, and he'd talk to you. Let me tell you, he worked at the railroad. He's an old railroad guy, and that's how he'd talk to you. And even as a teenager, and as a young person, even younger than that, he would always, always talk to you. And it wasn't just the pastor's kids, but it was all the young people. He made a special effort to have a personal conversation. And he wouldn't share stories just because he was ranting, because he had a personal interest. And to this day, and I didn't realize it then, he made an impact in my life in the example which he left. And he saw an opportunity to minister. He saw the opportunity of the younger who were below him that he could reach out to. Let me give you one example within our church. How many college students the Lord has given us that have passed through within these past weeks? I wonder, have we as a church, in Westside Baptist Church, done our best to reach out to them, to minister to them? How many teenagers, if you were to take our entire list, roster of teenagers, we have about 90-some on the list. As I was coming into the new year, I was filtering through them and placing families in there and just kind of getting an overall view of who's where and what. And as I got to thinking, how many families we have to work with, do we see the opportunity? The Bible tells us that there are qualities of a leader and starts with feeding the flock of God. You say, well, what do I feed them with? Well, it's hard to feed someone when you're not first being fed yourself. Amen? You take what you've been fed with. Where has God brought you from the first day you came to know Him? For some of you here in the very ministry of Westside Baptist Church, you came from not knowing anything about the Word of God to growing so much within your own Christian life. I wonder, are you taking what God has given you and giving it to others? Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 11. Why don't you turn there with me? Let's look at the passage together. We're going to turn back and forth a little bit, so as best as you can, keep up with me. We're in Hebrews chapter 5 and looking in verse number 11. We're talking once again about the idea of feeding the flock, feeding others. As we are to feed others, we're to be feeding ourselves. And there must be a desire that first begins within our own heart to receive. And it doesn't just start within the church, but yet it starts within our own personal life and saying, I'm going to study the Word of God. I'm going to learn from the Word of God. I'm going to have a relationship with God, pray with Him, grow in Him, and come to know Him more and more each day in my life. Taking what we've been given. With all this in mind, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, the Bible says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again with the principles of the oracles of God. Ye have need that one teach you the word of God again, the Bible says, and are become such as have need of milk, and not a strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. For many of you, you've known the Lord for years within your lifetime. What are you doing with all that God has given you? Are you investing that into someone else? Are you investing that into someone else? There was a man, one of my instructors in college would often say, who's your Timothy? Everyone should have a Timothy. Who's your Timothy? Who's the person to whom you're ministering to? Everyone should have somebody that they're zoning in on. And the truth of the matter is we can have two or three people, sometimes more than that, whom we're zoning in on. What I'm trying to say is not just in Westside Baptist Church, but unfortunately in churches today, we get so busy that we can come into church and walk right out the doors and having not said anything to anyone. But yet in all that God has given us in our Christian lives, how much we have to give. Amen? How much there is to give. I challenge the teenagers as much as I can, and the girls especially know this in the second row, that when we have handshaking time, I say, go shake hands. Stop standing here and shaking each other's hands. You've already said hello. Go say hello to somebody new. And yet the truth of the matter is, we're all guilty of that. And it doesn't just go in shaking a hand, but it's investing in another individual. Dr. Sexton used to put it, it's discipling others. Now, don't misunderstand me. The Bible doesn't tell us that we're to have our own flock, so to speak, where we're the under-shepherd under the under-shepherd, okay? We're not starting another church under Pastor Buds, so to speak. The Bible says we're to be ministering to others with all that God has given us. Let me tell you and come back to that. We talk about feeding others and being fed. Are you being fed by your pastor, Pastor Buds? Are we being fed by him? It's unfortunate that in churches today, sometimes we can allow the very resisting, due to our flesh, to say, you know what, I'm not going to listen to what he's saying. We allow ourselves to get frustrated. Sometimes we allow even the smallest little of things to cause us to not even receive the messages of God's word that he brings from behind this pulpit. Let me tell you, are you being fed by the pastor? The Bible says, qualities of good leader is an individual who's feeding others. They're being fed themselves. And the Bible says, number two, we're caring for others. The Bible says, feed the flock of God, which is among you. And we're in 1 Peter. And in verse number two, the Bible says, taking the oversight. That word oversight. Taking the oversight thereof. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not a filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. The Bible says that we're in 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse number 2. 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse number 2, the Bible says, taking the oversight. I can sometimes get ahead of myself, so I apologize. I'm a hard believer, by the way, when I say something, I want you to see where it's at. Look with me again in verse 2. I want you to see that the word, just so you know that I'm not just making this up. The Bible says, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not a filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. That word oversight has the idea and has the meaning to care for. To care for. You can't truly feed if you're not caring for. And the caring for comes from a desire to love others in Christ. You know, we talk about the different meanings of the word love, the agape love like Christ had for us, and the brotherly love, Philadelphia-type love. And the truth of the matter is, when we apply both of those, the brotherly love, the Christ-like love together, this is where we get what we're talking about here, this idea of caring for others. Caring for others. You know, it's not in many cases that we don't care. But what we're guilty of is not thinking to care. It's not that we don't care. It's that we don't set ourselves up and prepare ourselves to show that we care. The problem is as Christian people, we oftentimes can't show that we care towards others because we're not allowing others to show care towards us. That's where the Bible comes back to the very subject we're talking about tonight, that of leadership. And in particularly that case of the pastor. I wonder when Pastor Butts goes to show his care and ministering an opportunity to you, do you let him care for you? When Westside Baptist Church has an opportunity to the church maybe approaches you in some way, shape, or form and wants to minister to you and help in some way, help in some need, do you allow them to help? Problem is, as Christians, is sometimes we allow pride to so keep us from being cared for that we can't even be caring ourselves. The Bible says, feed the flock of God, but yet we have an oversight thereof. We're to care for. And the Bible says, notice what it says, willingly. Willingly caring for. Not by constraint, but willingly. That has the idea of this. Not because you're being asked to. Somebody would say, oh, well, now I got to go approach somebody else because Pastor Stephen said so. God says, here's when the caring actually applies, is when you do it out of your own desire within your own heart. The Bible says, care for others willingly, not a filthy lucre, not for a personal gain. This is not anything that you're doing to get something back in return. The Bible says, a ready mind. It's you're not going to be surprised If God opens a door, an opportunity for you to be able to minister to someone, that's not going to come as a surprise to you because you're ready. You're ready to show care towards somebody. The Bible says, Philippians chapter 2, why don't you turn there with me? Philippians chapter 2, we are to care for others. We have an oversight which we've been given. It's to be done willingly. It's to be done not a filthy lucre, not for personal gain. It's not to become as a surprise to you. And the Bible tells us once again, very much connection to the very first verse that we read in 1 Peter chapter 2. But Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says in verse number 5, Philippians 2 and verse number 5, we're talking about this idea, the qualities for being a godly leader. We feed others, we care for others, and how do we care for others? We care for them because we love the people of God, not because we think we know more than them. Look at what Philippians 2 verse 5 says, okay? Let this mind be in who? You, which is also in who? Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no what? Reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And we could go on with that, but the Bible tells us this, that as Jesus himself wasn't trying to make himself something to be known, Jesus simply made himself a servant. And when we as Christian individuals so humble ourselves to just simply be a servant to others, boy, what a difference we could make in Westside Baptist Church. Amen? The Bible says Jesus came not to this earth to be ministered to, but to minister unto. Who are you ministering to? Who are you showing care towards? Are you allowing yourself to be cared for in the same way? It goes both ways. The Bible says these qualities of a leader, feeding others, caring for others. Look at the next thing. If you turn back with me to 1 Peter, we're in chapter 5 in verse number 3. 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse number 3. The Bible says we're to impress on others. Impress on others. Don't misunderstand when I say impress. The Bible says in verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. So we're not lording over other people, telling them what to do, but we're being ensamples. The Bible says and describes to us, and that word ensamples has the idea of the mark formed by a blow or an impression which is made. Probably one of the greatest impressions for me as a child was when my dad would pull out a very large spoon out of the kitchen drawer and discipline me with a good number of whacks on the place in which I sit, okay? Not a very happy day. Very long-lasting impression on my life. This word impress, has the idea of, it reminds me of the time when I was in college, within my third week within college. I only owned my car for a couple months. Some of you guys know that blessed car that I once had was just a curse of mankind. But anyway, the student who I had become acquainted with thought it entertaining of himself to bounce his body weight off of the hood of my car and so that he would land back upright in his feet. Well, when he did so, it left the impression of his body on my car hood. And I was not a very happy camper, as you can imagine. The idea of impress is that very idea where it's leaving the imprint of. We used to love as kids. Some of you parents may hate this, but it's silly putty. Okay, we used to love silly putty. Now they have that, like, what is it called? Like the slime stuff. Yeah, it's getting stuck in everyone's pockets thing. But we always loved, like, the silly putty or the Play-Doh, and you smash it into something, and it impresses the image of whatever it is you push it on. And we push in Play-Doh on everything and silly putty on everything, just so, wow, you know, like we'd never seen it before. But the idea of impressing is this, as when a blow is given, there's something that's left, okay? Now, it's not to say we're going around punching people who are younger than us all the time. I left an impression on him, okay? The Bible says we're impressing in the sense of our spirituality. We've made such an impact to them spiritually that they'll always remember it. That person invested in me. Boy, I can think of the times where my Sunday school teacher, she just the little things that she would do, giving out the pieces of candy, I can still remember that. I don't even remember exactly what game, but I remember this game she would always play with. It was so special to us. She had this beach ball, and we would just throw it from the different corners of the room. We used to beg her just to play it in Sunday school because we loved it so much. I can remember certain individuals in weeks of Bible school that we would have back home that would always be the ones who make the crafts. And I can still remember some of those crafts, and the ladies would show you just exactly how to put the eyeballs in the ladybug or something like that. And they're showing that they care. They're investing in that way. They're impressing upon the individual. I can remember the people that God has placed in my life who said, hey, let me take you out to eat. Can I encourage you in some way? Let me pray with you. I can sort of remember the people that when you talk to them, they say, oh, you're discouraged. Let me pray with you. The impression that made on me. How much of an impression that we can make as Christians upon others. And how much we have to give. You know, sometimes we down ourselves so much. We say, well, I don't have anything to give. I'm not a preacher. We don't have to be a preacher. If you're growing in your Christian life, you've got something to give. Amen. The Bible tells us that we as Christian people, we are to impress on others. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 says this, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. We are to be the example to others. What kind of mark are you leaving? What kind of mark are you leaving? Let me turn the question back again to you. What kind of mark and impact has your pastor made on you? What kind of mark and impact is Pastor Butts leaving with you? For some of us, it's a great time of growing spiritually. For others of us, we've allowed ourselves to become frustrated because, well, the pastor is saying this about me or to me, and I know that was geared directly towards me. How often we take so for granted the man of God that God places within our life, and the impressions which he is making in our lives, we don't even really think about them until we stop ourselves and then choose to think. What impression has your pastor, has Pastor Butts, has our pastor made upon our lives? Is that impacting the way that you influence others? Is that impacting the way that you testify to others of Christ and of all that he is? Notice the last thing with me, if you would. You should still be in 1 Peter chapter 5, I hope. We're in 1 Peter 5 in verse number 4. Bible says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of what? Glory that fadeth not away. The Bible tells us, lastly and fourthly, that we're to keep the right motive. I want to bring you back to the very primary focus of this passage is for the under shepherd. It's for the pastor. And it's given within this context that the pastor that's ministering for God is not pastoring for gain. He's not doing it because somebody's asked him to. He's doing it out of the willingness of his own heart. It's the individual that shows that he cares. It's the individual that's seeking to feed the flock. It's the individual that's seeking to make the impression. It's the individual that is keeping the right motive. And all the time, what's keeping him going is not the personal gain, not because of the friendships, not because of the relationships, not because of how big the church is, but it's because of what God is going, of what God has commanded them to do and led them to do. They're doing it for God. Let me just turn this back around to Pastor Butts and all that God has done for us. Should this passage not produce a more thankful and renewed spirit towards our pastor? Amen. The Bible tells us in all the impression and all the motive and all the care and all the feeding, there's so much to be thankful for. We turn this back to ourselves and ask ourselves, what is our motive in the Christian life? So the pastor says, well, I'm not paid to do this. I'm doing it for God. And by the way, if a pastor is not doing it that way, then he's God doing it all for the wrong reasons. And aren't you thankful to the Lord that we have a pastor that's serving the Lord and for the Lord only? Amen? The Bible tells us that our motive is not to be ministering to others for any personal gain, not because somebody's asked us to, not because we're trying to make some relationship with somebody who's really wealthy or whatever the case may be, but we're doing it for God. We're doing it for God. That's our motive. There's no other reason behind it. It's simply and only and just for Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to one more passage in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Talking about keeping the right motive. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Sometimes in our youth activities, you can definitely tell sometimes when the teenagers are coming for a completely different motive than that of the teen activity. And sometimes you'll have somebody who walks in and you say, man, I haven't seen this guy or this girl for like several months. And then come to find out some girl or some guy shows up also. And you say, oh, that's the reason why they're here. Different motive. What's our motive in our drive for causing us to, for keeping us to serve God, to step out and serve God? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and looking in verse number 14. The Bible says, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should, what's the next word? Live of the gospel. I'm going to read that one more time, see if we can all be together on that. The Bible says, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should what? Live the gospel. The Bible says, if you are doing any amount of investing, teaching, preaching, giving of God's word, it's not just going to come out of your mouth, but it's going to first start with your own two feet. You're going to be living it out in your own life too. I've said, I don't know how many times, my dad was one of those people that he wouldn't always so boldly and straightforwardly look me in the face and just say, son, this is what you need to do. But many times he would lead by example. And I only but learned that by a certain point, and I would say, you know what? That's just the way Dad's always done it, and I don't really see it as any better way to do it. Dad really knew what he was doing when he did that. And we all lead by example in some way, shape, or form. Some of us do it naturally. But the question is, are we doing it spiritually? You know, are we leading by example? Is our motive being Christ? Are we letting Christ be the example of our life? I've described it to the teens as you would think of snow, and you step in, you're leaving an imprint of every step that you take within the snow. I can remember with my dad, I would follow within those steps. We follow in the steps of Christ in the same way. And when we follow those steps, others follow right behind us. The Bible says, we're not doing it because anyone's telling us to. We're not doing it for any other reason but this, because of Christ. Christ is the reason. Is Christ the reason for you? Are we seeking to invest in opportunities? We talk about Stewardship Month. And we've got ministries in our Christian school, ministries in our youth group. We've got ministries within our church here, translation, nursery, children's church, sound room, and all of these different areas. And the likeliness of there even being more ministries growing out of this church, but having somebody with the heart's desire to start and to begin, to start taking those steps that others would follow. There's so much that we have to give. And we don't think that we have much to give, but there's so much that we do that God has brought us to in our lives. The question tonight is what are we doing with all that we've been given? What are we doing with all that we've been given? Are we being a godly leader? Are these qualities of a godly leader a part of our life? Are they emphasized through the very way we're living? Through everything that we say, everywhere that we walk, when your child looks at you, do they see Christ? When the teenagers in these couple rows here look back at you, do they see Christ? When the young married couples that pass through our church, and by the way, we have so many of them that do here in Houston, when they pass through the church, do they see Christ? When we have our teachers that come through here and within our Christian school, do they see Christ in you? And are we taking the opportunity with all the people that God brings through here to minister to them in any way possible? Lord, I pray that you would help us to apply these things to our lives, that we understand that this is simply what your word says and what your word instructs for us to do. This is not a made-up version of man to give any form, but Lord, this is your word. So Lord, I pray as the invitation would be given tonight, that you would convict and work within the hearts and our lives of each and every individual here tonight, as you have mine. You're here tonight, you'd be honest enough before God to say, Pastor Stephen, God has